Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
This is Veronica Monet, your host in the Shame-Free Zone. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I have got Dr. Meltzer, who is a pioneer in preventive medicine and has the distinction of being the first medical doctor to enter the field of preventive medicine in Southern California and the first in the nation to specialize in this emerging field. He's a well-known expert in the field of preventive medicine, integrative medicine, and clinical nutrition for the past 30 years. He's been on lots of TV shows. There's a couple of things in particular that I'm very interested in talking to him about tonight. That's going to be both how we can prevent illness, and also he's got some tricks for how you can change your metabolism. So, you know, it's February, Valentine's Day is around the corner. We're probably all still trying to get rid of the weight we put on over for Christmas, so maybe he can help us out tonight. And as always, you're welcome to call in and ask any question that you have about health from Dr. Meltzer. I will give you that number in just a few minutes, but right now I just want to welcome Dr. Meltzer to the Shame-Free Zone.
Well, Veronica, thanks very much. I'm glad to be in the Shame-Free Zone tonight, and looking forward to our evening interactions here.
Well, same here. Now, you've got a brand-new book, right? It's called The Best-Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss?
Yeah, I mean, we just published a brand-new book, The Best-Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss, and a lot of the stuff we're going to cover tonight for those folks out there who are looking for answers, looking for, you know, ways to improve their health. We have a lot of very, very helpful information on our website, which is MakeTimeForWellness.com, MakeTimeForWellness.com. So a lot of the stuff will come up there. But basically, you know, the focus here on the best-kept secret to permanent weight loss is to address a quality-of-life issue that's basically becoming kind of epidemic in our society today, which is that, you know, not just the physical components of obesity, but the social and emotional implications of being overweight, and how it's become, you know, for our culture, you know, two-thirds of the population somewhat is now overweight. And interestingly, if you look at the trend tables, the actuarial tables, it's predicted, unless something changes, and it's been pretty much on the trend line the last few years, but by the year 2025, as much as 85 to 90% of the population looks like it will be overweight. So, you know, when you talk about preventive medicine, you're talking about wellness medicine. If you're not, I guess the word medicine is kind of an oxymoron. You're talking about wellness. You're talking about getting to it before it gets to you. So preventive medicine is basically the art and science of preventing illness and disease and preventing unnecessary suffering type of thing. And it's about empowering people. So, you know, it's the wave of the future. I mean, right now we have a disease care delivery system. It's not really a health care delivery system. It's based on entitlement. You're entitled to this. You're entitled to that. You buy this insurance. It's not about empowerment. So preventive medicine, you know, the movement here is about self-empowerment by giving people tools and strategies to be well and stay well. And, you know, as part of that strategy, when people were going to size up themselves, and by the way, on our website, there are a bunch of little self-analysis and quizzes that people go to at Make Time for Wellness to kind of see how their health is doing type of thing. But my point
is
that...
Give us that website again.
MakeTimeForWellness.com, MakeTimeForWellness.com. As a matter of fact, that's going to be my theme tonight for your listeners, is Make Time for Wellness, because it's what you make time for that really matters, you know, and that's what, and wellness is so empowering. I don't want people to go through this planet without having realized that by empowering their wellness process, they're uplifting their life and creating vibrations to be thriving and happier and to reach their capacity and full capacity. But getting back to weight.
Wait, hold on a second, because I'm posting this to Facebook as we talk. So what kind of tests do you have on this website?
Well, what you have on this website is you have a quiz to size up your metabolism, and we're going to get to that, and to size up whether or not you have what we call appetitis, which is an inflammation of your appetite, which often leads to unnecessary weight gain. So basically, in a nutshell, let's just back up for a second. when you're looking at a preventive medicine doctor, he looks at people's vital signs like a traditional doctor looks at a blood pressure or a pulse or a temperature, you know. So when you go to see a regular doctor, he's going to take your blood pressure, he's going to take your pulse, he's going to see if you have a fever, he's going to see how you're breathing. Well, a doctor of preventive medicine, his two main vital signs, if you will, actually the three, one is your energy level, the second is your weight, the third is your mood, and basically how you sustain your mood, whether or not you're happy or not. So those are the vital signs to a doctor of preventive medicine. And when you have weight gain, like we do have an epidemic today, so that's what spurred me to write my new book, The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss, because what's happening right now, which is shocking, Veronica, and I don't know whether you're privy to this, but right now, 97% of folks who need to lose 30 pounds or more never lose that weight. So the dieting, shall I say, craze that's out there is, there's, you know, one thing about the weight loss industry and about a lot of the medical industry, I'm not talking about surgery now or emergency room work, but a lot of the medical industry, a lot of the weight loss industry, a lot of the health industry is not results oriented. It's just, it's like a growth movement. You just talk about things and you do this, but they never really track results. And in weight management, the results are abysmally, it's unbelievably sad, the long-term results. Now, many diet programs advertise weight loss and lose weight, do this and lose weight, do that. And they're not telling you a mistruth. They're telling you the truth. They only leave out one word. They leave
What's
out the
that?
Word temporary.
Oh, temporary.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, now, don't they sometimes even have kind of a long-term effect of putting more weight on you?
Veronica, that's such a good point. I'm so proud of you for saying that, because this is one of our big points that you'll get in our book, The Best Kept Secret of Permanent Weight Loss. Don't go after trying to change your weight unless you know what you're doing, because what I tell folks, just on your theme, is that for every pound you're overweight, imagine that you're 1 foot in a ditch. So let's say if you're 25, 30 pounds overweight, you need to get out 25, 30 feet out of a ditch. Well, here's what's happening. If your approach to getting out of that ditch isn't soundproof, in other words, if you don't know what you're doing, you think you're going to lose weight, it's temporary, when the dust settles, now you're 35 to 40 feet in the ditch. So yes, there are side effects on your weight, there are side effects on your liver and gallbladder. So, I mean, see, here's that, and that's my point. When you're looking to lose weight, you have to decide first, is it something you want to do for the short term or the long term? If it's something you want to do the long term, you have to know how to do that. Now, what is the best kept secret to permanent weight loss? What is the best kept secret? The best kept secret to permanent weight loss is what we call metabolic fire. Metabolic fire, the fire in your metabolism. So here's how basically weight loss works. When you burn more calories than you consume, you lose weight. Now, what's happened to my industry is everybody's on the downstream working on decreasing consumption of calories, but nobody's upstream working on the burning or the metabolism, and that's where the action is. So basically, the only way you can lose weight long-term, dieting does not address your metabolism. Restricting of calories and sensible exercise does not fully address your metabolism. So unless you have a way to restore your metabolism and create what we call metabolic fire and learn how to overcome emotional overeating, which is stress-related from our stress-related society, which is what I call it appetitis. That's what that other quiz is. In other words, like you have tonsillitis is inflammation of the tonsil, and appendicitis would be inflammation of the appendix. Well, appetitis is inflammation of the appetite. And that's what people suffer with. They're emotional eaters. They're recreational eaters. Everybody does it, you know? And not to say it's right or wrong, but just the way it is. Well, for those folks who want to lose weight long-term, they have to figure out how to get metabolic fire, and they're going to have a system to overcome cravings and emotional overeating and impulsive compulsive eating habits. And that's what our program offers you. You see, we know where the failure rate is. The failure rate is from either metabolic burnout, which means you have a wounded metabolism, and you can go to the bank on that. If you're overweight, you have a wounded metabolism. And if you don't know how to repair that wounded metabolism, you're going to get temporary shifts in your weight, but you're not going to get permanent shifts. Number two, even if you know how to create the lifestyle of metabolic fire, and metabolic fire is a lifestyle. There are seven dimensions to it, from exercise to what we call smart food. It also has stress as a factor. You know, stress and hormones, stress affects your hormones, your adrenal hormones, your thyroid hormones, your female hormones, et cetera, male hormones. And so, you know, metabolic fire is a lifestyle that you can learn about and create a fire in your metabolism. And number two, learn how to overcome, you know, poor eating habits. We call it master eating habits. And then the third part of our program is what we call the inner strengths of permanent weight loss, which is the mind power, the mood power, the soul power. In other words, learning how to feed your mind, feed your heart, feed your soul so you don't feed your mouth. And that's how it works, you see. Now, if you're on a program that doesn't address all three issues, number one, how to create a new metabolism, number two, how to overcome emotional overeating, number three, how to cultivate those inner strengths, it's not going long-term.
What's the shorthand for number three again? How to cope with what?
The inner strengths of permanent weight loss. How to cultivate the inner strengths.
Inner strengths.
Yeah,
okay.
The willpower, the drive, the focus, the conviction, the commitment. I mean, you know, we have a very, very, what we call, you know, a here today, gone tomorrow, you know, immediate gratification society.
You know,
people see something, they want it. You know, that's the problem. Most people have what we call the seafood diet. They see it, they eat it. It's like a hand-to-mouth reflex. You know, I studied it, Veronica. It takes somebody 3 to 5 seconds from the time they think of a piece of food to eat it.
Are you kidding?
You know, no, 3 to 5 seconds. You see something you like, you 3 to 5 seconds. You're at a party, you're at a dinner, you know. Maybe not, of course, when you have to order food. But, I mean, if you're going home and you're
right.
in the refrigerator at a party or something social, you know, the bank, whatever, you know. You see
I can't even imagine.
And see, that's, yeah, well, see, I'm glad you can't. And,
no,
you know,
I can't. I'm not one of these people who, I have to sit down to eat. I don't eat on
the
road.
Good.
I don't
that's
eat
good.
While, you know.
Yeah, and we have, in our program, we have what's called the 7 rules, the 7 golden rules of smart eating, and it addresses how to eat. So it's not just what you, it's not how to eat. And let me just get back to the fire for a minute so everybody gets this. You know, metabolism, the fire in your metabolism, here's how it works. Just think of this. Wood is to the fire. Wood is to the fire as food is to your metabolism. Wood is to the fire as food is to your metabolism. So as the fire burns wood, your metabolism burns food. So that's what it's about. You have a furnace in yourself. And that furnace is there. The purpose of that furnace, the metabolism, is to burn food and turn it into what? Energy. Right. Fuel gets converted to energy. Wow, this is scientific. This is rocket science, right? Fuel gets converted to energy. So you put fuel in your automobile and it converts into energy so you can drive your car. So, I mean, you know, so that's what it's about. Now, when you have a wounded metabolism, when you're overweight, here's what's bizarre. You put fuel into your body and instead of it being converted into energy, it converts it, some of it gets converted to fat. So can you imagine having a wounded car? You go to the gas tank and it puts in, you know, some fuel and then the car gets swollen. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it's like when you have a defective metabolism. So if you're under the illusion that calorie counting is going to restore your metabolism, it's an illusion. It's a delusion. It's a myth. It's a misperception. It's totally deceptive. It's inaccurate. I mean, I'm a professor.
So what is it that wounds ones? How would somebody be able to tell that their metabolism is wounded? Is it something that they have done or something, you know, can they tell either by the way that they've treated their body or can they tell?
There are a variety of ways of telling. Like I say, in our website, MakeTimeForWellness.com, we give you a quiz, which, you know, is very simple, very to the point, take a couple minutes, self-awareness type of quiz, self-discovery type of quiz, to help you, yes, guide you through the important 7 or 8 questions that would help you understand if you have a wounded metabolism. But for example, let's say you've been struggling to lose weight for a long time and it won't come off. Let's say you lose weight, but then you can't lose the final weight. Let's say you're constantly considering yourself chubby or overweight. Let's say that you have a weight issue of some kind. Then go to the bank with it. You have a wounded metabolism because people that have a healthy metabolism don't have issues with their weight. It's not an issue. Isn't it amazing how, like, for example, some, you know, how people have different issues in life? Some have financial, some have, you know, relationships, some have, you know, health, whatever. Well, the people that are not overweight don't have issues with their metabolism. It's not on their mind, you know. We did a study of individuals years ago at the Institute to try to see what percent of a person's thoughts, you know, who are overweight related to food. Would you like to conjecture as to a person who's overweight, how much time they spend either thinking about food, whether food's fattening, whether that food will make them look good, whether people think of how they look, whether they should diet, you know, whether they should not eat. What, you know, do you have any what idea?
No.
50%.
50%. Oh my God.
Some more than 50%. So that's what I'm saying. But for someone who's not overweight, they don't think about it. They eat. They're hungry. They eat. That's it. So
50% of the time.
50% of the time, if you're significantly overweight, you have food on the brain in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, I mean, talk about human potential. Talk about the capacity to live, love, laugh, and be. You know, if you have an addiction to food or you're struggling with your weight, you're basically knocking out 50% of your creativity.
Wow.
But it's not just food. People that are addicted to work, people that are addicted to, you know, drugs, people that have alcoholic or similar type of, you know, findings. You know, an intelligent person has only 10 to 20,000 thoughts a day. They say that more intelligent people have up to 40 to 50,000 thoughts a day. Can you imagine having 20,000 thoughts a day about what you look like, or what people think you look like, or whether it's fattening, or what to wear, or you know what it's going to be like to you know go somewhere, and where are you going to eat, and what are you going to have for lunch, and.
Well, now, didn't you just say that a large percentage of America is overweight? So that would actually be a vast majority of people, wouldn't it?
That's correct. The vast majority of people are overweight. That's correct. They're not necessarily obese, but they're overweight, you know.
And doesn't that mean the vast majority of people are spending 50% of their time thinking about food or what they look like?
That's correct.
Wow. So this is like a national epidemic.
It is an epidemic, and that's what I say. That's what's scary about it. I started to get that. You asked me why I wrote this book or how it came about. Is because, you know, when I started, you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, I don't want to date myself. I mean, I'll be in practice, you know, I'll be honest. I'll be in practice next year, 40 years that I've been in private practice here in San Diego. But, you know, I have to be honest with you. When
you
I was growing up.
You sound young, by the way.
Oh, thank you. See, you're as young as your energy, right?
That's right. Your energy is very upbeat.
Look, thank you. Thank you. I could tell you a few other jokes, but I won't anyway.
Okay.
we'll leave it at that, right? You understand. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is that, you know, there is a, we were kind of talking about this epidemic, and you were talking about, well, anyway, the thing that is crazy to me is when I was growing up, there might have been one, I mean, honestly, maybe one kid in the schoolyard that was overweight. I mean, you know, it was kind of like, you know, the kid you picked on, he was a little chubby, you know, that was about it.
Right.
Well, now, you want to hear something unbelievable? Now they have specialists in pediatric obesity.
Wow.
They have specialists within the division of pediatrics. Well, then, you know, they have pediatric diabetic specialists now, they have pediatric depression, pediatric psychiatry. What?
That's unbelievable.
Kids are going to psychiatrists?
Wow.
I mean, what's up? You know, and so that's, and again, it's driven by what I consider to be the source of appetitis. You understand what I mean by appetitis, right?
Well, I think I do. What you're saying is kind of like appendicitis, only you're hungry all the time.
Yeah, right. You're hungry. You, in other words, what's the difference between hunger and appetite? If I said to you, Veronica, tell me the difference. I want you to give me the distinction between hunger and appetite. Well, I'll tell you.
I would say that when I'm hungry, my stomach growls. And then when I have received enough nutrition, my stomach stops growling.
That's accurate. But what I'm saying is that your appetite is your emotional hunger.
Right.
Your appetite is your mental desire, your mental hunger, and your real hunger, like you described your belly growling, is a physiological, biological need for fuel. Give me some fuel. The car's running out of gas.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the main line, my dear. Okay. You ever go on a large trip? I don't know if you have a family or not. I have four children. So we would often go up to the Big Sur from San Diego. So I used to have to get these you know, big RVs, you know, those big 28-foot RVs and drive them up the coast, right? Well, the interesting thing about them was they had a main tank, but they always, because you had kids and family and stuff like that, and you're going to God who knows where, they always had an accessory tank. Now, when does the accessory tank and a big RV kick in? When would the accessory tank kick in?
I don't know.
Well, it kicks in when the main tank is empty.
Okay.
See, in other words, it's not going to kick in until the main tank is empty.
Okay, well, of course. All right.
Have, in other words, you have two fuel lines.
Basically, I think what you're going to say here, you're saying that you've got to make sure that your big tank is empty if you want to burn the fat.
Yeah, in other words, what I'm saying is your fat level or your body fat, let's just say, is your accessory tank.
Okay.
Now, as long as your main lines are full, you're not going to burn any, that accessory tank's not going to be accessed. No ticky, no laundry. You're not going to burn fat that way. You have to know how to get the metabolism to burn fat. It takes, you see, learning how to naturally burn fat is unnatural because we weren't meant to be overweight. We weren't designed. We weren't built. Our machines weren't created to be overweight. Being overweight is unnatural. Being unhealthy, unhappy is unnatural. We were designed to be happy and healthy. And enjoy life to the fullest and have vision and purpose and balance and hopefully someday make sense of the whole damn thing. You know? I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about. But what happens on the way, there are impediments. You know, you talk about this law of attraction or law of success or laws of healing. Well, shoot, I mean, I'm all for it. Everybody's out there with a great thought about, you know, what to think positively. But what happens is your physical density is not healthy. If you have a wounded physical body, from fatigue or stress or anxiety or depression or bad health, it interferes with that vibration to achieve whatever your laws of attraction are trying to do. I mean, how can you not? I mean, when you have the flu, do you have the same vibration that when you're alert?
No, of course not.
Of course not. So this is what kills me. You know, there's this big movement out there to be rich in life, rich in life, rich in everything, rich in prosperity, rich in fun, rich in money, rich in sex, rich in relationships. You know, everybody wants to be rich. Well, hey, guess what? Somebody forget that unless you're rich in health, you're not going to be rich in anything? Can't
you certainly wouldn't be able to enjoy it, would you?
Well, you can enjoy it episodically. Again, the temporary versus sustained. That's my point. You can always, even the most depressed person has episodic joy. I mean, episodic is what we're talking about. Intervals of happiness or intervals of well-being are not what we're talking about. I didn't write a book on preventive medicine and a biscuit for weight loss for people to have intervals of being well. No. My focus is to empower people with tools to be well so they can sustain wellness so that's handled. So they live in a climate where it's sunny and they have opportunity. It's not raining and freezing and snowing every day so they can't do their thing.
Well, so, you know, and forgive me here, but I'm looking at some of the great quotes that you have from people like Marcy Smirnoff, the keynote speaker and best-selling author. You've got, but here, this one that stood out for me is Carl Lewis, 10-time Olympic champion, says, Dr. Meltzer's wellness programs can make the difference between a life of vitality and wellness or one in disease. His wellness programs will empower you with a step-by-step formula to develop the strategies, technique, and skills to strengthen your body, enrich your immune system, and enhance the quality of your life. He can teach you how to become a champion in your own life. He has helped me and thousands of others. Did you actually work with Carl Lewis?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough and privileged enough to be his trainer during the 96 Olympics, and he came to me, and he and a bunch of his other colleagues and his sister and others were interested in performing at the Olympics. I was curious because at the time, he had, I believe, 9 gold medals, and he was 32 at the time, and he was competing against a lot of youngsters with the quicker fiber, quicker muscle reaction than Carl. But being the stallion that he is, I started working with him probably 6 or 8 months before the Olympics, and proud to say that our work together manifested in his 10th gold medal.
Awesome. So you're not just a nutritionist and a doctor, but you're also a trainer?
I'm kind of more like a lifestyle coach, you know. I mean, you know, when you say nutritionist, you know, like I say, I'm a lifestyle coach. My focus is to get people.
Who just happens to be an MD?
Well, yeah, because like I say, here's where it's crucial. If you're not an MD and you don't understand, okay, in other words, a great general has been to war. He hasn't just been at peace. See what I'm saying? I don't have, my days of medicine are behind me. My days as a surgeon are behind me. I started out in surgery, UCLA, UC San Diego. I came out here and I was burning it up to be a professor of surgery. I switched into preventive medicine when I was like in my 3rd year of surgical training. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that you don't know about wellness if you never know about disease. I mean, I didn't start it out that way.
You're opening people up and looking inside of them, I suppose you get to see the results of the way they're eating, huh?
Well, just the way they're living. It's not just eating. Stress, you know, relationship stress, parenting stress, you know, drug stress, emotional stress, mental stress, lack of activities, you know, poor eating habits, you know, soft drinks, alcohol, caffeine, sugar, you know, the wrong proteins, you know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, most people have, when it comes to, you know, I teach a system of wellness called energy banking, where you kind of, all the things that are good for you on the deposit side and all the things that are bad for you on the withdrawal side. And if once you figure out the system, it's just like going to the bank. If you know what you're doing, you're making money. And if you don't, you know, if you know what you're doing, you're staying healthy. If you don't, you're not, type of thing. But my point is that, you know, as a doctor of preventive medicine, I did my surgical time. I've been in the war zone. I know what it means to be, you know, I've seen disease. I've seen in the eyes of disease. I've seen the souls of people in disease. I don't want that world. I try to stay away from that world. I mean, it's inevitable that we're all going to die, but we don't have to necessarily be sick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, so I'm trying to get at it. So to draw the analogy fully is that, so I feel I have understanding of wellness. And as a result, you know, I've seen disease, and so I'm trying to get people on the track to, you know, take better care of themselves, make time for wellness. That's the point. And so we teach our program. One of the ways we teach our program, by the way, it's not just a book. I have a 3-part coaching program, which for this particular program, The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss, it has a video coaching program. We have 15 consultations where, Veronica, you're just like right with me in my office where we're going at it like this. for 20, 30 minutes in every session, every key part of the book, 15 of those, and then comes with a CD set, 6 hours of me going on like this, mm-hmm. and trying to motivate you and energize you to follow the plan, and then, of course, the book. So, but let's get back one step further.
So can we actually go back? I'd like to go back to, you had mentioned something about hormones, and I think, you know, for my female listeners, this is an ongoing concern. A lot of women feel that things happen to their metabolism when they hit their 40s and their 50s. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Well, sure, because what happens, and they're accurate, things do happen to their metabolism. What happens is this, that unless you know how to maintain metabolic fire, that you go through three stages of metabolic burnout. You know, metabolic burnout stage one generally sets in around age 35 to 45, and then metabolic burnout stages two and three from 45 to 55.
Age 35 to 45?
About age 35 to 45, the first degree metabolic burnout typically sets in at some 85% of the population.
Okay. And
so their hormones start to go out of balance at that point.
And then what's the next age group?
About from 45 to 50, it accelerates. Okay, you go from first degree burnout into like a slip into a second degree. For women more particularly, it's this. As they get into their early 40s, they go into what's called perimenopause. And then when they get into their late 40s, they're kind of in premenopause. Then around 50 ± a year, they're in menopause, and then they're in postmenopause. So they have four periods there: perimenopause, premenopause, menopause, postmenopause. Now, typically, unless they know how to make adjustments in their metabolism through food, exercise, and managing stress, if they haven't figured out those three things, which they haven't, because the only one that teaches that is a program like mine, they're not going to necessarily be in step with their metabolism, and they're right, their metabolism slows down. So that's part of our program. See, once you get in our program...
Wait just a second here. So age 35 to 45, then age 45 to 50, and then the last...
Yeah, in other words, you start getting a little weight. What happens is 35
right,
to 40...
But what's the last one? Because you said there were three.
Okay, there's third-degree burnout, first-degree burnout, second-degree burnout, third-degree burnout.
Yeah, what age group is third-degree?
Third-degree is about 55.
About age
50 to 55, yeah. Mm-hmm. See, what happens is a couple years after menopause, women start gaining about 2 to 3 pounds a year. And so they can easily gain 10 pounds over a 4 or 5 year period of time.
Wow.
So a lot of the ladies you see that are actually with great intention dieting, again, downstream, chopping the wrong wood. Good luck, girls. You're going to get some weight loss. It's going to be temporary. When the dust settles, you're going to have more problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, they're right. The metabolism does change. But here's the thing. You know, one of our seminars, we call it, Facing 40, Fighting Off 50, Thriving at 60. You know, every decade has its own challenges, not just lifestyle-wise, not just emotionally, but, you know, spiritually, metabolically, et cetera. Our program addresses those things. See, we teach a person how to restore their metabolism. So let's say you're postmenopausal. Let's say you're, you know, perimenopausal. Let's say you're premenopausal and you're gaining weight. Now, if you're on it, if this is important to you, get on the plan and get to restore your metabolism. You know, I remember just a couple weeks ago, I had a lady who's just traveling now, who saw me when she was in her mid-60s, and she swore she could never lose weight again. She'd been on about 20 diets, you know, in the last 5 years. And she needed to lose 30 pounds and wanted to go to Panama with her boyfriend, husband-to-be, and have this incredible, you know, midlife celebration, you know. And her goal was to lose this weight. And she found out about our program. And I'm happy to say, about 2 weeks ago, she left and had lost the 30 pounds and had kept it off before she left for a couple of months.
So what do you think distinguishes then what you're offering from all the other stuff that's out there? How would you distinguish
yourself?
Because
I give you a system to restore a wounded metabolism. And
well, those are nice words, but that really doesn't tell me much.
Well, what that means is I tell you how to create metabolic fire. There's 7 steps to creating metabolic fire. There are 7 lifestyle issues in creating metabolic fire. They have to do with exercise. They have to do with knowing what to eat, knowing what not to eat. They have to do with what supplements to take. They have to do with how to manage stress. They have to do with how your liver functions, how your pancreas functions. They have to do with your hormones. There is a system. There is a scientific system to restoring the metabolism.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
If an individual comes to see you, mm-hmm. are they going to get kind of a one-size-fits-all thing, or do you do tests to figure out what they specifically need for them?
Well, you know, there's both. In other words, at some point in time, no matter where you are, to restore your metabolism, there are 3 parts, okay? For example, to create metabolic fire, everybody's got to ignite the fire, then step 2, build the fire, then step 3, sustain the fire. So, I mean, you know, everybody's got to ignite, build, and sustain the fire, and everybody at some point in nutritional healing is going to have to go through some cleansing process, you know, or some detox. So that's true for everybody. Now, everybody's a little different, so you can tailor individually, you know, in special cases, as individual detox for someone who's diabetic or someone who's menopausal. I mean, there are variations, but by and large, the way the book is set up is anybody can study it. And it tells you what, you know, the three steps, how to go through power cleansing, how to go through nutritional detox, and how to get into maintenance. I mean, for example, on the food side of it, as I say, there are seven lifestyle factors. I don't want people to get the idea that this is just a diet. Metabolic fire is a lifestyle because it involves your attitude, it involves your how you manage stress, it involves your happiness levels. I mean, there are many factors that you know can impact your metabolism that outside of food. But food, of course, is one of the principal areas, of course. And you have to know, for example, what foods act like paper and twigs when you're trying to start a fire. You'd have to know what foods basically are like kindling wood or medium-sized branches. You'd have to know what foods act like big logs. You might have to know what foods act like sand and water, you see, because what people find out from dietitians and dietetic therapy is all they find out about are calories. Well, this has so many calories, so many carbs, so much protein, so much fat, so much sodium. Then that has nothing to do with what I'm going to call it's, you know, the impact on your fire. None of that stuff has anything to do with it.
So what do you think about things like the Atkins diet?
They're extremely misleading and deceptive. As I say, they're going to get you further down in the ditch.
Let's not gloss over that. Tell me how they're going to get you back in the ditch.
Well, because
they are definitely approaching it from the idea that it's not just about calories. Very much focus on changing the type of food.
Okay, the type of food they advocate is a low-glycemic, low-carb, high-protein diet. A high-protein diet, especially animal protein, saturated fat, is going to cause acidic toxicity to the liver. It's going to stress your liver, and it's going to cause you metabolic friction. You're going to get a wounded metabolism from that diet. You can't go the distance with it. It's a short-term program. The protein that they're using is animal saturated fat, acidic protein. They're not using alkaline. Here's the thing. The protein you want for your liver is alkaline, high fiber, high in phytonutrients, and that's what you're looking for. Alkaline, high fiber, low saturated fat.
So do you recommend dairy and fish, or do you recommend a vegetarianism?
To get to in your cleansing and detox phase, to restore wounded metabolism, it would be necessary to be on a plant-based diet to get through the change. You won't be able to get the liver and the pancreas to change fully without it. Once you've restored your metabolism, you have options to maintain it. So once your metabolism's got the fire, I love Michael Phelps, but I mean, he eats 12,000 calories a day, right? I mean, you know, can you know that? I mean, or 14,000 calories a day, and it's not the right food, but he doesn't gain weight because he's got the fire. Once you have the fire, you got some leverage. You don't have to be nearly as, you know, I mean, if you wanted to have some fish or if that's what you want to do at that point in time, you can do it. You've got the fire going. It's going to burn. But if you don't have the fire, if you eat something like fish, when you leave an acid residue, there's no fiber, okay? You need food that's alkaline and high fiber and that doesn't have saturated fat. That's what the liver needs to get it restoring itself, to restore the wound. I mean, when you have a wound, as you know, if you just think about it, if you wound your knee, you know, what do? Well, the first thing you do is you clean the wound, right? Right? You clean a wound, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, then you basically what? Then you would protect it, right?
Sure.
And then you'd let it heal. Well, that's just what our program does, nutritional healing. You clean the wound, you cleanse the liver. You don't aggravate the liver when you're trying to get the metabolism repaired. You've got to cleanse the liver.
Okay, now don't you have some clients that are going to have, when they're going through this detox, especially if they've cut out animal products, do they have, like, withdrawal symptoms or, you know, because you said you're holistic, you're approaching the emotional aspects of it, too. I watched a program, it was Raw for 30. I don't know if you've heard of that. And it's a program about getting people onto raw food to cure diabetes. And they had about 50% of the people stayed, and they were off of their insulin within less than 30 days. But there were other people there who were in danger of losing an arm or a leg to diabetes, and they just couldn't stand the raw foods and chose to go back and eat their regular diet.
Like I say, part three of the program, the inner strengths of permanent weight loss. You know, one must cultivate willpower, mind power, soul power, mood power, and try to figure out what's of the greatest importance in their life, you know? I mean, if
how do you make
really,
that attractive for people, though? I mean, because let's face it, you said this culture is very much about quick fixes.
It's about the truth. I mean, if how important, I mean, you know, when you look at being happy or being rich in life, it's up to that person. They have to have a drive for it. They have to have ambition for it. The things in life that are the most, you know, mean the most come with the most focus and training and discipline and detail. I mean, look at the New Orleans Saints. I mean, you know, their victory is a testimony to hard work and discipline. That's just how it works. I mean,
yeah.
That's just
no,
the truth.
Preach to the choir here, but I mean, I'm
what I'm saying is this.
I'm a self-starter. I'm thinking about all the people who,
okay,
all those people who would like to be your clients who are
okay,
not if, Olympic
in,
champions.
In our program, we teach the people how to cultivate self-discipline. I have techniques and strategies to cultivate it. Now, you start out small and you keep moving up. It's like anything else. You go to the gym, you don't start lifting with 100 pounds. You start lifting with 7 or 8 pounds. Everybody can grow in our program, and then depending on where they want to go. But even if they were to cut back on some of the things they did, even if they were to adjust some of the things they did, they're going to get do better. But, you know, like I say, let's go back to what we've been talking about to start with, is that if you really are looking to be happy and rich in life, then it makes sense to figure out how to be well. If there's no long-term value to spending the last third to half of your life nursing a chronic illness. I mean, do you know right now, if you look at the healthcare reform crisis in our country, do you know what the single most, what is the most critical and the single most one factor that's causing us to be in a healthcare crisis today? Do you know what that is?
Well, I think it's because people are living longer and they're not living well.
Well, you're close. It's the cost of chronic illness. 4 out of 5 Americans from age 65 and older have a chronic illness. And the cost of caring for chronic illness is ruining quality of life and ruining the country economically.
But let's say if somebody comes to you and they are 65 years old, I've talked to friends who feel like it's too late for them.
Well, it depends what they want. It's never too late.
They go to a doctor and they get medication to treat the pain, and they feel like it's too late. They can't turn around. So what would you say to those people?
It's never too late. There's no such thing. As long as there's breath in your lungs and you got some spirit, it's never too late. You can't look at it.
So do you have any stories about people who have turned things around?
Well, sure. I've got people in their 70s and 80s that have come to see me who haven't been happy or healthy and have changed their lifestyles. It took them a year or so, and then they had 10, 12, 15 good years. And many stories like that, you know? But like I say, I can't motivate somebody to be well. I mean, I can. Well, that's not true.
I hope it's not true because you just said that's an important part of your program.
Yeah. No, what I mean is I can motivate you to be well, but I can't make you want to be well. You have to have the desire. You have to come with the desire. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can't make you want something that you don't want. If you have passion, here's basically the program. It's what I call the PET program. P stands for passion, E stands for effort, T stands for training. If you have the passion to be well, and you're willing to put the effort in, I'll give you the training. I'm a lifestyle coach. You asked me how I became a lifestyle coach as a doctor, because I think, what's the point of being counseling people on, you know, lifestyle, how to have better retirement and better money and better relationships? If they're not healthy, it's going to have a negative impact on their lifestyle and their relationships and their money. So the first thing you got to do as a lifestyle coach, if you have any kind of sense, is make sure your people that are going into retirement or going into that part of their life, whatever stage you're in, that they've covered their wellness factors, because otherwise they're not going to realize their full potential. You can't. There's too much time spent in illness and burnout and aging and disease. It takes up too much time. It takes up too much energy.
So how about something personal about yourself? Have you yourself ever battled chronic illness?
You know, fortunately, you know, I don't really, you know, here's, you know, when if you say you never have a cold, you know what I mean, you're going to get a cold. I mean, let's put it this way. I've been
I'm
in practice.
I'm not on wood for you.
Thanks. I've been in practice for 40 years. I've missed a day in work, okay? So, you know, I feel good. I have good energy. I feel playful and vibrant. And I feel like I can pretty much do what I've done pretty much my whole life. I mean, not as quick on the tennis court, meaning on the time, I'm fine on the tennis court. I'm not as quick in a 2 mile run. My speed, I mean, you know, if Carl Lewis and I were running, I'd be embarrassed to see my speed next to him. But my endurance and stamina are good. My energy is good. I'm happy. No, I feel good. I don't have any complaints.
Well, okay. So there's some people out there who would probably think that you're a lucky guy. You have great DNA. And
it's not about that.
People
blame
everything.
Look,
Nowadays, people blame everything on DNA. Yeah. It's just kind of
that's a great way to avoid taking responsibility for yourself. They can think whatever they want. Here's the truth, okay? The truth is...
Yeah, but those are your potential customers, so let's not just tell them they can think whatever they want. How
no, what I'm saying,
I don't,
I'm not here to, like I say, my goal is to get the people who want to be well and stay well the tools to be well and stay well. If I have to talk you into being wanting to be well, that's not my role, okay? Now, I will say this. I would like most folks to make wellness a value. That's how I look at it. See, just like freedom is a value in our society and liberty is a value, I would like to see our society evolve to where health and wellness was a value. And then everybody would be on the same page, and we'd all be working together from a wellness perspective. But if you can't see the value in wellness, I'm not going to sit there, you know, I'm kind of like...
I don't think that's fair to those people. I don't think it's that they don't value wellness. It's that they have already been kind of indoctrinated with the idea that there's no hope because they were just born that way. And that's something that I think can be educated away from.
Okay, so that's a good point. Let's take that point. Those folks out there that think that genetics have predetermined their well-being, let me tell you, that's a myth. That's a myth. Genetics have a factor, but your environment's more important. Now, where genetics takes a major role is in the first couple of years of life. So if you're born with a cleft palate or with a hole in your heart or juvenile diabetes, clearly that's something you inherited. But once you get to be 15 or 20 and you're moving along in your life, you know, whatever, you know, you're doing, you have strengths, you have weaknesses, and your body is going to tell you pretty much, you know, most illness is a combination of two things, nutritional stress and emotional stress. So if you stress your emotional life and if you stress your nutrition in your body, you're going to age and have illness. Now, that's the way it works. It's not about genes. As a matter of fact, we're finding out today, the new science and the new physics is finding out, that your beliefs and your thinking now can actually affect your genes. So, you know, when you hear about, you know, oh, my mother had this, my father had that, that's why he had that. To me, you know, health care begins with what I would call self-responsibility. And that's just, you know, coming to
life. Hey, wait a minute. Back up just a minute there, doctor. Your thoughts can affect your DNA.
That's what the new science is saying.
Any idea where that research is? I would love to tell my...
What happens, Veronica, is this. I'm not a gene theory person. You see, I went to medical school, and my colleagues, if you ask them why someone has diabetes, they're going to say the genes, you know,
yeah,
or breast cancer. So I've gotten away from that world, you see. I'll see what I can find, and I'll have to send you that reference, okay?
Well, I think that is just really, you see, I'm really glad I went down that road, because I think that is very liberating to get people out of the idea of thinking, well, you know, my dad died of this or my mom died of that and I have to do this and that's all, that's my fate. And you're telling me something else. I've never actually heard this, that you could change your DNA with your thought patterns. And I certainly never heard that, if something hasn't affected you by age 15, then, you know, that's your DNA from 15 to 20. It's the choices that you make. I mean, that's really a liberating concept.
Well,
in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate that. That's been my observation, okay? So I've been in this industry for 4 years, plus eight years of surgical training, medical school, et cetera. So, you know, now we're looking at 45, 48 years doing this thing. And it's my observation that you basically, you know, just like you say, that there are genetic factors in anybody's life, but environmental factors, meaning how you live, how you play your cards, how you think, your choices, your decisions, your values, your commitments, your convictions, your philosophies, your truths, the things you stick to, the things you do, your actions, your beliefs, etc. Those are the things that determine how your life unfolds.
This is something that I've actually seen my mother do over the years, because her father died when he was 52 or 3.
Uh-huh.
And he died of three things. He died of diabetes, stroke, and a heart attack.
Okay, well, let's put it this way.
So now my mother is 70 years old. Do we have a caller?
That might have been my phone.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
She's now 70 years old, and of all her siblings, I mean, they're all on medication, in and out of the hospital, and overweight. Mm-hmm. And my mother wears the same size of clothes she did in high school.
There you go.
And she's avoided diabetes all these years, and
yeah,
did all of it by diet.
Yeah, so there you go. There's an example of someone who had a family history of having diabetes, right?
Right.
And she didn't have it. And I want your listeners to know this, that just about, you know, I can't say everything's preventable, because certain things have fate and destiny that are beyond my understanding, But I would say, you know, I mean, in most cases, preventing disease is very practical and very realistic. I mean, 90% plus of most diseases can be prevented.
Well, I think everything can. I think your message is a very timely one, too. Have you gotten any interest from local or federal government in spreading this?
You know, I don't really, I'd have to check with the rest of my staff on that. You know, I personally, you know, my focus is individual. So, I mean, I'm pretty much, you know, my sense of it is that, yes, there are more and more people looking for empowerment, more and more people looking to be well. And at the same time, it's polarized, you know. I would say about 15% of the population is going in this direction, and I'd say about 85% of the population goes in the other direction. So, you know, I mean, it's a traditional approach to health care where you go to the doctor and you're entitled to health care. You know, you don't have to earn your health. I mean, see, to me, entitlement doesn't work, you know. Yeah, we're entitled to have the opportunity to earn our health and be free. But, you know, because you have an insurance card, that doesn't entitle you to your health. I mean, you have to earn your health, you know.
I just, yeah, the whole health care thing really leaves me nonplussed because I don't, if I do have an issue, I usually go see an acupuncturist before I go see. and you also encourage alternative health modalities.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and again, I encourage alternative approaches, absolutely. And again, under the judgment of a primary care physician, it knows when alternative is appropriate and when it's not. But see, my point is everybody out there, I want everybody on a basic wellness program. I want everybody to have Wellness 101 under their belt. Their energy level is high, they feel good, their moods are stabilized, they're happy, and their weight is good. So that's what I'm looking for. Now, once you have that achieved, that sure, you can go to your acupuncturist for this, go to your herbalist for this, go to your reflexologist for this, go to your chiropractor for that. But what I don't like and what I see happening is the polarization and the fragmentation, you know. This group goes and does hypnotherapy, this group does herbology, this group's into homeopathy, this group is into spiritual healing, this group's raw food, this one is into fitness, you know. It's integrating these disciplines into a daily lifestyle that works. And everybody, you know, like I say, Wellness 101 should, or Nutrition 101 of how to be well and stay well should be just like reading, writing, arithmetic, because the cost of human life and the quality of life that's changed because of not having that is unbelievable.
Well, that's a really good point. I mean, they teach you how to balance your checkbook in high school. You think they could teach you how to feed your face, huh?
Yeah, there you go. And the reason that, you know, we're having conflict is because, see, the cartel, the money, the food cartel is more about money than it is about health.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you look at the commercials that make it to the Super Bowl, they're not because they're healthy foods, they're because they can pay for the commercials.
Well, and I don't know how you think about this, but I think Big Pharma also has an investment in keeping us sick.
Well, you know, like I say, I don't go there. My focus is individuals and trying to keep people well, and that's why I wrote the book, The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss, because I want folks to know there is a way to lose weight permanently and once and for all and never look back. And there is a system to do it, and, you know, and those that are looking for that kind of wellness information and be part of our wellness network, we have a what's called an online wellness community on our website. It's called When Is Now, and we release, you know, videos and audios on wellness and wellness-related information. So, like, you know, I might put stuff out about the swine flu or healthcare reform or the breaking news on a drug or whatever, and I usually have a little video. So be sure to, you know, welcome all of you to the website and to the Wellness When Is Now feature of our MakeTimeForWellness.com website, and, you know, feel free to share our stuff with other loved ones, family members, relatives, friends who have an interest in wellness, because that's really what my being here tonight, Veronica, is about, is just to help, you know, let people know that there is a wellness movement going on and that the wellness cause serves all, and I hope that, you know, that many of the people listening tonight will be touched by that and be interested in developing their own wellness and spreading the wellness to their friends, family, and the rest of our society.
Well, I have a suspicion that they're all over on your website taking your test right now because if people definitely checked in and said, oh, you know, can I listen to this and where's the link, and that's about all I've gotten on Facebook tonight. I haven't actually gotten any health questions, so I think they may be a little overwhelmed with this. I have a question for you about the Biggest Loser. You must be familiar with that reality TV show.
A little bit. I've never watched it, but I've heard of it. Go ahead.
Oh, well, okay. I was going to ask you your take on it, because I actually saw some people who had achieved amazing results while they were on the show. I mean, they had, like, ripped abs and chiseled pecs, and then, like, 4 years later, they had gained all back.
Well, like I say,
Oprah was interviewing them. I suspect Oprah was interviewing them because she wanted some company for her own weight gain. But
well, look, I mean, I don't want to laugh about that because I think it's a very sensitive subject. So, but let me just put it to you this way.
Okay.
I think people don't know how to maintain permanent weight loss. So I think it's an ignorance factor, and it's an educational factor. The biggest loser, first of all, please, everybody listening, please do not wait till you're 150 feet in the ditch. Please do not wait till you're 190 feet in the ditch. Please, if you're 20 feet in the ditch, do something about it now. Please, if you're 40 feet in the ditch, do something about it now. Be smart. Don't let yourself get further and further into metabolic burnout. That's number one. Number two, if you have morbid obesity, which means you're greater than 100 pounds overweight, you need medical help immediately. You're in a very, very dangerous state of being when you weigh more than 100 pounds than you're supposed to weigh. Now, fortunately, the majority of folks that are overweight, 85% or so, or, you know, 87% of it, whatever it is, are not in morbid obesity, fortunately, because those folks have a very sad, you know, situation on their hands, and a very difficult one. And even in the best of hands, even with the best of doctors, the best of surgeons, it's very difficult. But just about everybody else who's not 100 pounds or more overweight, and I'm not saying those that are 100 pounds or more, they can't come back because they can. But, you know, the ones that are just 30, 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, they need to know to do something about it right away and to have a sense of urgency about it and, you know, to go to a program like ours, you know, the best kept secret, and find out how to change their metabolism, because you just pointed out what happens. You lose the weight temporarily through these different techniques, and then you gain the weight back, and when you gain it back, it's worse than when it started. And that's just the way it works. So, being, you know, remember, the show's about flair. It's about sizzle, not the steak. It's about getting people's attention. So, wow, so-and-so lost 50 pounds. Whoa, so-and-so lost 90 pounds. That's not important to me. It's not how it starts. It's how it finishes.
I like that. It's not how it starts. It's how it finishes.
That's
We've got an interesting comment here from one of our listeners. His name is Shelton Hall.
Okay.
And I had put out the question on Facebook, your thoughts can affect your DNA. What do you think? This was his response, and you can tell me what you think of his comment. Since the mind directs the body, we know about the role stress can play in affecting health, and anything that affects the body in the short term can, in time, have long-term effects on genetics. For example, many of the blood-related issues faced by African Americans disproportionately, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, etc., result from generations of poor dietary choices largely imposed during the slave days. Your comments?
I think he's right on.
Yeah?
I love what he says. It's very, very, very insightful, accurate, and again, I'm not a neophysicist, so I mean, I have to be honest with you. I mean, the new physics is a lot more, you know, spirit-oriented and, you know, atomically, you know, the spiritual atom rather as opposed to the chemical atom, you know, and there's all kinds of new physics out there. But I get the drift going, and I see the direction of things. I have a fair amount of a sense of direction, and I do think that it's an interactive process. Our DNA affects us, and we affect our DNA. It goes both ways.
Well, that's...
I mean, and that, not all of it. I'm not saying you can affect your height and your eye color. You know, let's not get too extremes here. There are certain aspects.
I don't know
aspects.
About that eye color thing, though. I mean,
well, okay, there you go.
Seriously, I had brown eyes until I was 26, and I got clean and sober. I got off of cocaine and alcohol in 1986, and all of a sudden, I became a green-eyed person.
Well, okay, I'm sorry I used that analogy, but you're not going to change your height by thinking away. You know, there's certain components of your genetics that are predetermined, but there's many components relating to your health. That's what I'm talking about. Your health, your potential, okay? I don't believe you're born a winner or a loser. I believe you create that in your life. I don't believe that you're born to be sick, except if you have congenital disease. I think you're born to be well, and you just have to learn the secrets of life, which are the inner secrets of life. Or how to, you know, for wellness would be the wellness, you know, the immune power, the metabolic fire, the mind power, the soul power, the mood power, the stuff I talk about in the Best Kept Secret Department Weight Loss Program. I mean, if you figure this stuff out, you can, you know, try to and work through a life of wellness. I really think it's possible.
Well, I love your message of hope. I think it's awesome. Another question just briefly here. Do you think that we're all born with various different health requirements? Like, not only do we need to, you know, get basic good health sources such as yourself, but that also each individual has to find what works for them individually?
Within range, okay? In other words, there are four legs of the chair when it comes to wellness. Let's go over them. We have a program called Wellness 101 that your listeners can, we're working on it right now. It's going to be a really informative, you know, like a 1099 DVD type of thing, and all the things you got to know, basically.
Okay.
You know, low-level entry. So watch for it on the website. It should be out in the next couple of months. But basically, think of four legs of a chair. So everybody has to have these four legs working for them. The first leg is what I call self-awareness. Now, why did I make that the first leg? Well, because, you know, self-awareness or self-discovery, knowing who you are, knowing how you think and feel, knowing how to be in touch with your intentions and your values and your dreams, getting in touch with your passions, getting to know your strengths and weaknesses, and ultimately learning that it's a do-it-yourself lifestyle, that you have to be accountable and take charge with the right choices and decisions to make your life work, you know. That's the first step, self-awareness. Everybody has to have that one, okay? Number two is nutrition. You have to know what's in and what's out. You have to have metabolic fire and a strong immune system. Is there variations on that through individuals? Yes. But if someone wants to know how to restore metabolism, no, that's scientific. That's a detox plan that's in our program, you know. Now, can people maintain wellness without our program? It depends. If they have their, you know, if you're Michael Phelps, you got metabolic fire, you got it, you know. So I'm not saying there's only one way to get metabolic fire. I'm saying there's the only one way I know to get metabolic fire, and I've never seen another program that's outlined it. So, you know, so nutrition and clinical nutrition, knowing what's in, knowing what's out, knowing how to eat, knowing what to eat, knowing when to eat, knowing what not to eat, that's important for all of us, and each person has to fine-tune that so that, you know, you may find out that broccoli and carrots work for you, and I might find out that spinach and romaine lettuce work for me. But basically, we're both going to need vegetables type of thing.
Yeah, I would imagine. Now, do you also encourage your patients to use supplements?
You know, I do. In our program, we have a couple of supplements. There are two that we recommend. They're on the website. One's called Revita. One's called Vima. They're liquid supplements. You know, I've been a supplement specialist now for many years. You know, if you went to my lectures back in the early 80s, you heard, or 70s, you heard me say, food is your best medicine. You don't need supplements. If you went to my lectures in the early 80s, you heard me say, food is your best medicine. You don't need supplements. If you went to my lectures in the late 80s, you heard me say, food is your best medicine. Guess what? We need supplements. The soil.
What changed your mind?
Well, the soil, the air, you know, acid rain and the soil pollution and the commercialization and the fertilization processes, what's happened is the minerals and many of the vitamins and the wholesome amino acids have been depleted from the soil. So the old gray area, what it used to be, you're not going to have good nutrition without good soil. So you have to be, so supplementation today is necessary. So I do think you have to know how to supplement. And I think if you're trying to lose weight, there's only a couple of supplements that really work, and they're in my book. So, you know, I'd go to that and check it out. But,
okay. Coming up at the end of our hour here, and Dr. Meltzer, I got to say, you teach people how to have the fire. You definitely do have the fire. It's been hour here.
Well, look, Veronica, I appreciate the time together, your sweetheart. My message is clean. I hope everybody gets it. Let's get well. Make time for wellness. Preventive medicine is where it's at. Learning how to be well is where it's at. My program currently is on our MakeTimeForWellness.com website, the best kept secret to permanent weight loss. Go to the video coaching program, the CDs and the book, and then become part of our wellness community and spread the word, blog with us, share with us, interact with us. We have recipes, we have ideas, we have little cassettes, audios on how to get well. And let's make wellness a value and go forward together.
No, I think it sounds like a great idea. And just one more time, I want to mention the name of that book here. It's called The Best Kept Secret to Permanent Weight Loss.
Permanent. There you go, Veronica.
Permanent weight loss.
Key.
Thank
permanent,
you so much
baby.
For joining us in the Shame Free Zone.
Okay, have a great night.
All right, you too. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.